Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We, of course, have been watching and reporting and talking about the horrific incident that took place in the early hours of our morning yesterday, where a youth, an 18-year-old, walked into a school in the United States and mowed down a whole bunch of kids. Immediately following that, those in favor of the control of guns or the removal of guns from American society have taken up arms. Well, that doesn't really sound right. Maybe it's a little too ironic for this time of the morning. But either way, they have stood up. Others, the gun lobby and those in favor of Second Amendment rights, have done the opposite. The question is, what is the reality on the ground? How did this guy manage to walk into a sports store on his 18th birthday and buy a semi-automatic weapon or some form of weapon that costs more than $2,000? I shouldn't get caught up in the number that the cost of it. But either way, how did that happen and what is the difference here in South Africa? We've spoken to him before, Gideon Daniel Hubert. He's founder and editor of Apparatus. He's a board member of Gun Owners of South Africa. Good morning. Thanks for joining us again. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. It is always fantastic to talk to you. Good morning to the listeners. It's going fantastic on my side. How are you doing?
Very, very good, thank you. But perplexed. This is obviously a terrible, terrible tragedy. Before we even talk about South Africa, what is the situation there? Did he break any laws? I mean, obviously when he starts killing people, he does. But until that moment, until that decision, what was the situation and what went wrong?
So what it appears to be, and the information obviously evolves with time, and it is certainly a colossal tragedy. This individual was already on law enforcement watch lists or radar, so to speak. They were aware of them. They were aware of potentially dangerous statements and activities that that the perpetrator did prior to committing this mass shooting. And what's interesting about it is this seems to have become a trend where United States law enforcement are aware of individuals triggering certain red flags and then proceed to perplexingly do nothing about it. At the very least, if this person had then gone to a gun store to purchase firearms, they should already have been flagged on the federal criminal background check system, if not to prevent the purchase happening, but to at least trigger that it has now happened and that there could be some sort of intervention. So what also stands to me is that America seems to have a problem almost inherent to South Africa when it comes to law enforcement, that you have these agencies with incredible amounts of resources and very much sweeping powers that are so extensive as to be almost arguably unconstitutional. Yet when you really need them to actually perform their tasks and duties, they seem to be almost chronically absent in that regard. And again, we sit with a situation now where innocent people are dead because the authorities didn't do their job that they claimed to do. Of course, the problem with America is that you have these high profile mass killings. They are fortunately not as common as I think we'd like to believe. I think since Columbine, according to the New York Times, or it was the Washington Post, it was one of those two, there were approximately 185 children and educators that were killed in the past 23 years in these types of mass attacks, which, let's be honest, 185 is not insignificant. It's 185 people that otherwise would have been alive. But it is fortunately very much, and thankfully, it remains a statistical outlier event. What is concerning is that there has in the past year been an uptrend in these events, which lets us confront very uncomfortable questions pertaining to with the lockdowns and similar sort of things being implemented worldwide. What has this done to mental health, and what exactly is America's situation, seeing that this seems to be a series of incidents that occurs there more frequently possibly than anywhere else?
That's what fascinates me, is why does it occur there? And I know you're not a psychologist. Your knowledge is more about guns and the laws around that. But it is fascinating because other countries have people have access to guns as well. But we're not seeing this. We simply are not seeing these events happening. And the question is, if you remove the guns, well, would American teenagers be mowing each other down in cars? What is happening within American society that is making this an inverted commas acceptable action when somebody loses their mind a little bit?
Well, that is a very key question, and I think it's we can answer it by saying that Columbine happened in the middle of the federal assault weapons ban that ran from 1994 to 2004. So there is certainly, where there is a will, there is a way. And I think if one had to address the core issues pertaining that cuts across the characteristics of most of these assailants, pertaining their mental instability, their home life, the family structures, and all the warning signs that are almost always present before something like this happened, and that those warning signs continue to go ignored for 23 years is just patently unacceptable. That in a 23-year period, we're still sitting in a situation in America where school children can be killed at their school by their classmates in this manner. And yes, yeah, we've had this happen in Germany and other countries as well, but still, it's
not to this, it not, is not a problem. At this frequency. Should In terms of gun control, should he have been able to go and buy this weapon?
It's a difficult question to answer because of the inherent nature of constitutional rights. On the other hand, no, he shouldn't, for one simple reason.
Well let's put it differently. If you were writing that constitution, if you were, and you're a gun activist, you're very supportive of people having the right to bear arms. If you were writing, forget the American Constitution, if you were writing the law, how would you control it?
So there would be a few things I would do pertaining to putting safety nets in place. I would have loved to say I would like to rely on the competence and understanding of the person behind the counter to be selective regarding who they sell to, but that isn't something apparently one can always rely upon. Right. Although there definitely needs to be a system put in place there. In South Africa, our system is actually quite, if it were properly administered, it would work very well. So our major problem with how we do things here is not so much the structure, it is the way that it is implemented. We have a system of we have two separate ways of doing it. You have your competency, which declares whether or not you as an individual is fit to possess before you are. As part of this process, there's a minimum training requirement as well as a full criminal background check, which disqualifies a great many people with violent criminal histories from legally obtaining firearms. Which is precisely why I'd imagine we have the rather lucrative market for unlicensed firearms in SA, but that's a whole different story. I don't think our system is onerous, and I'd like to see it significantly amended to make it friendlier.
Right.
But I don't think that inherently that the competency requirement is a bad one at all.
It certainly does seem that way. Whilst we have you here, there was that incident, I think it was either earlier this week or last week, where a teacher at a school pulled out a gun and threatened their students back here in South Africa.
Yeah, I read of that, and I assumed it to be a joke. And
I also
then
did.
I
actually started laughing. I thought that's one way of controlling an unruly bunch of kids. I bet you their discipline in that class was quite, well managed.
Up until now, I'm still in a state of shock and awe, rather, at it. It's an incredible, turn of events, but it's we certainly do have interesting events like that happening. And I think if we had to compare violence in schools in South Africa to violence in schools in America, we do have a problem here. We don't read about it in the same way because
it's not as dramatic, because it's not as loud.
You it's know, not as loud, but it is, it's certainly in the Cape Flats here, well, I won't say close to me, but in the same metro as I stay in, there is an extensive problem of violent gangsterism that actually infiltrates into schools and then manifests there. But because we're talking here about stabbing attacks and this sort of thing,
right, it's not as dramatic.
It's not quite as high profile. But it is definitely still a problem. And I think if you had to cut to the root of the issue regarding what appeals to children to become violent, you'd probably find, not identical, but, and again, I'm not a psychologist, similar answers perhaps between the violent children in America and the violent ones in South Africa, bar maybe some socioeconomic differences in between.
Absolutely right. Unfortunately, we are running a little late. Gideon Daniel Joubert, founder and editor of Paratus, board member of Gun Owners South Africa. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us.